Hear these words. For everything, there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. All of us need healing in our lives, be it emotional, physical, spiritual. Each of us is hurting in some way. During the time of Jeremiah, the people of Israel are hurting. They are hurting of their political, their economic, their social standing. A lot has been lost. They are looking for healing. The prophet Jeremiah says, "Where is the physician? Bring the balm of Gilead." Balm. I went online, went to Amazon actually, to see the different types of balms that there are. And, you know, there's so many. The one that I know, because I've used it myself, is Burt's Bees Lip Balm. Has anyone used that before? Yeah. Whoa! All right. It takes care of the cracked lips that we have. The best one that I has is Honest Amish Beard Balm. There's Tiger Balm, Rosebud Balm, Tea Tree Balm, Vermont, the original Bag Balm. People are looking for balm for healing. It comes from a plant. It has a resin that has a very fragrant smell. And people looked it to heal wounds that they have. But we also look at balm as how we can be healed as well, not only in our physical selves, but in our souls, in our insides. And so I was thinking this week about a healing of so many ways that are around us, that where we have been hurting, where we feel angst. I think about what we have recently been through with border security. I think of what we have been through with the leaders of our political establishment in Virginia, state of Virginia government. I think about the need of healing in the United Methodist Church as we grapple with human sexuality. And as I have thought about these different ways, I think, you know, how has the church responded? What is the church's place in healing in our country, in our state, in our church, and in our personal lives? I was very touched by a United Methodist News Service article that came through about Zimbabwe. Zimbabwe is a country in Africa that's having a very hard time. There was an election that took place, and that election created a lot of civil unrest, a lot of hurting spiritually. There's been a physical harm, emotional harm. And I was touched by how the church reached out to bring healing to a country in chaos. And I want to share part of that article with you, so please bear as I have to read it. It says, "Striving to create an atmosphere of forgiveness and reconciliation following protests that rocked the country, Zimbabwe heads of Christian denominations gathered recently to a National Day of Prayer breakfast and dialogue. The more than 600 attendees represented business, civic, political, and religious groups. Zimbabwe has become deeply fragmented following the disputed elections of July 2018. People are also feeling the pinch of fuel price hikes and a failing economy. In response, the government is trying in the short term to provide fuel to bus companies to ferry workers at subsidized fares. More recently, teachers threatened to strike but are now in conversation with the government, while health workers have shifted to a three-day work week after striking for 40 days over pay and working conditions. Urging attendees at the February 7th meeting to focus on solutions rather than blame, the United Methodist Bishop said, analyzing a problem and pointing fingers will not make the problem go away. We must begin to become a positive and optimistic people. No one enters the process of forgiveness and comes out the same. They get transformed. Fear prevails because no one knows what the other is thinking. Several country leaders were present. One said, "For genuine dialogue to occur, we need an independent, credible, respectable mediator and convener. The church in this case is appropriate." The head of the state of Zimbabwe said, "Constant encounters of this nature enable dialogue between the church and all stakeholders. Such platforms under this anointing also help to unite us towards a common vision and a one shared destiny." And you know, as I was thinking about our national issues, about our state issues, I've said to myself this week, where's the church? That can be the place of the church that no other institution or entity can be, but a place that offers love and forgiveness and reconciliation, to offer hope. Where is the church? Border security. I haven't heard the church. Governor, attorney general, lieutenant governor. Where is the church? I took it upon myself. You all know I love to write letters. I like to write letters to annoy people. And so, you know, I wrote a series of letters to various denominational entities. Where is the church to help us deal with this issue? And it's interesting that the response I got, one response was, "I'll pass your email on." One response was, you know, we see that as a local issue, not a national issue, for sexual assault and racism. I thought it would be an excellent opportunity for the church to make its face, its place known in society as a place of reconciliation and hope and love. And it's been a missed opportunity. You know, I was thinking, you know, if I was bishop, this is what I would do, but that's not certainly not my place. But I would get in touch with Pelosi and Schumer and Donald Trump, and I would say, let's have all of the politicians that you engage with, let's all go to the southern border. There are a lot of Methodist churches down there, and we'll provide housing for you. We'll put some air mattresses out there for you to sleep on. And you can personally engage and see what is happening in the southern border of our country instead of being in your palaces on Capitol Hill. I thought about in Richmond. We have tons of churches there. There's St. Paul's Episcopal, they're right on Capitol Hill. They may have made a response that I'm not aware of. I imagine that those three politicians there are people of faith. And wouldn't it have been the place of the church to gather those persons together with groups to seek out love and hope and reconciliation? Instead of a political solution, wouldn't a solution of love and forgiveness and reconciliation, wouldn't that be a better solution for all of us? We in the United Methodist Church are dealing with human sexuality, acceptance of all people. You know, I can remember when I first started in the early 1990s, I would get calls from funeral homes because a person had died of AIDS and their pastor refused to do their funeral. And I was the one on call willing to do those funerals. Sad. I hope that in the 30 years pastors have evolved, that having AIDS is not a sin. We look to be a community of love, a community of acceptance, and certainly a community of forgiveness. Let me share with you personally two stories of healing. One was scary. The other was, I look back at it, kind of funny. The first one is, I was in college. It was probably 1978. That's a long time ago, isn't it? I went to school. One of my degrees is from a historically black college, university. And I was on campus that day, and there was a student. There was some unrest on the campus. And there was a student, he came up to me, and he had a lead pipe. And I thought he was going to hit me. He stopped me in my tracks, so I could not move forward. I would move this way, he would move this way. I'd move this way, he would move this way. He would not let me by. He spit in my face. I was fearful. But watching this encounter was a coach on campus. He knew my brother because my brother took karate from him. He knew who I was. And he came and intervened in that scary situation. He got both of our names, and he called us together. And through that meeting, we found resolution. We found forgiveness. We found reconciliation. It wouldn't have happened if it wasn't for that person standing there watching this incident take place. The other one now, as I look back, it is kind of funny. I have a friend who called me a few weeks ago. It was when we had the last snow. The ice all on the roads. They closed the schools and everything. And he was in town, and he said, Dave, I'm in town. He's done very well in life. And he said, well, I'm in town in D.C. Why don't you come have breakfast with me? And I said, that would be great. He said, I'm staying at the Army-Navy Club. Has anyone ever been to the Army-Navy Club on Farragut? Not the country club, but on Farragut. Okay, so you kind of know the place. So I told him, I said, you know, it's supposed to snow tonight. I don't know what the weather's going to be, but if I can get there, I'll get there and I'll let you know. So I got up at 6 o'clock and everything was shut down, and I said, but I can walk. You know, I wanted to experience this Army-Navy Club. So I called him and I said, I'm starting out. I can't get the car out, but I'll walk, and I'll let you know when I get to Farragut North and you can meet me at the place. So, you know, I went, it was messy, so I had on Merrell boots, and I had on corduroy pants. I had on an L.L. Bean shirt. I had my leather motorcycle jacket on and my leather hat. And Pastor Dave gets off the metro and goes through the doors of this Army-Navy Club. The doorman saw me come through. I didn't know if they were going to open the door for me or not. They kind of looked down at me, and I thought, I went up the steps, and there was they opened at 7. I got there like at 10 of 7. There were the women cleaning. They had their little bristle thing going like this, and I walked in, and this one particular woman, she kind of looked down. She gave me the look. She looked down at what I was wearing, and she just left the room. So I met my friend, and as we were going to breakfast, there was a receptionist, and she said, sir, I said, yes, sir, you need to wear a blue blazer to eat at the Army-Navy Club. And I said, okay, where are they? And so I started to open the door where they are to see where. She says, no, sir, you can't come in here. Don't come in here. And she said, what size do you take? And I said, I'll take a 40 regular. So here I am in Merrell boots, corduroy pants, an L.L. Bean shirt, wearing a blue blazer vest. And the sleeves are too long. And I said, ma'am, could I have another one? The sleeves are too long. She said, roll them up. So I rolled them up. And I went in there, and there were all these men Many of them with their University of Virginia ties on, all nice and with their blue blazers, their nice pants, their black shiny shoes. And here's Pastor Dave. I had a great breakfast, but you know, I didn't feel welcome. Ivory tower, glass palaces. Let this church never be a place that people don't feel welcome. I got over it. It was kind of funny, but I did look up about how to become a member at the Army-Navy Club. So I went online, and they said, you know, if you're part of the Army or the Navy, that's great. And they said, if you are a leading figure in a prestigious organization, you may apply. And I thought, okay, I'm a leader in a prestigious organization, Doolin Church. I'm going to apply to the Army-Navy Club. And then I said, no, it's just not for me. I wouldn't be happy there. I don't want to pay the monthly thing, or the fees and all that. But, you know, it kind of made me feel I was profiled. I know now what it's like to be profiled, because people were looking at me. It was so obvious, looking at me up and down of what I looked like. Let us not ever be that place here at Doolin Church. All of us need healing in our lives. Somehow we're hurting. Someone has hurt us, or we have hurt others. We have physical ailments. We're hurting, our souls hurt. And Ian and I are going to give you an opportunity to receive some healing. What's going to work is I'll be over here, Ian's going to be over here, and we have a little vial of anointing oil. And if you would like, we're going to ask you to just to come and kneel, to say your name, and we'll offer oil on your forehead or on your hand, and a simple blessing of healing, and then go on your way. So we're going to model that for you of how it goes, and then we would invite you, as you feel called. We're going to ask Ben to come first, and he's going to play some healing music for us. And so we'll ask you to come as you wish after Ian and I have been anointed, okay?